Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And oh my gosh, Renee, my voice from Snow White, where she changes her voice. And then Ursula, when she gets her voice back to Eric, no. It's my favorite part of the whole movie. But anyways, how are you? I'll get to the reason why my voice is like this, but I want to hear from you first. How have you been?
Now you sound like a smoker. Before it just sounded layer. Now it sounds like you're like, I can't breathe. Where's my cig? Just teasing. Hello, everyone. I am doing well. I just got back from Utah, actually. I think last time we recorded, I was in Utah. Now I am back in Virginia. And so that's been great. It's been good to be back. It was great to see family and to just be around friends and to, take that moment away for a minute to come back. I think I don't remember if I mentioned I started my, I'm doing a graduate research assistantship over the summer. So the hours have started on that. So I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of recruiting, a whole bunch of stuff, whatever my professor basically wants me to do. I'm her assistant, one of four. So definitely working on that stuff. Had another race this Saturday. It was a 10 miler this time. And guess what happened? This is the coolest thing ever. And I don't even know if people care that I talk about this, but I took third place in my age group. I've never done that before. I mean, two reasons for that. One, there's not a lot of people running. Two, there's not a lot of people running. So, and I think this area doesn't have as many fast runners, but they do have a fast runner. There was this dude who's in my age group. He finished a half marathon in like an hour and 16 minutes. That's like fast.
How many miles are in a half marathon, or what's the distance?
13.1 miles.
Oof.
Yeah, but this Saturday was only 10. So it wasn't a half. It was just 10. So it was
gotcha.
Like 3 miles. Yeah, but it was great. Loved it. Was really fun. I am now actually getting ready. Tomorrow, I start my trek to New York City. So I'm excited. I leave to DC tomorrow, and then I will be there for a night. Then I'll be in Jersey Wednesday, and then I'll be pretty much there until Friday. Then Thursday, I'll go into the city, but I'm not really staying in the city. And then Friday, me and some friends from our old ward, we're going to Massachusetts, like the little like leg of Massachusetts, like that like beach area. So it should be really fun. And then I leave to El Salvador when we come back from that trip. So, from then, I don't even know how we're going to do recording. But so that's a long update for me. I'm doing well. I have all these fun plans, which honestly are a little exhausting too. Because originally I planned them all because I was so heartbroken about Tommy. I didn't want to be around Christiansburg. I intentionally planned all these activities, and now I'm doing better on the whole breakup thing. And now I'm just like, I'm excited, but also, I wish I could be here because I've made some good friends here too. And so it'd be fun to like spend some time with them as well. So that's me.
Yeah, it's been a year since you've been out of the city, right? Was it almost a year since you moved?
Yeah, because I met Tommy pretty much at the beginning of that move. So me and Tommy would have hit a year. So yeah, I think April was when I left the city for Florida for 2 weeks. And then I met Tommy soon after that. So I know I shouldn't use that as the meter, but that's what it reminds me of. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's a mental road sign, or what is it called? Mile marker. There we go. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, no, I can totally relate to you about like having all these plans because everyone's just itching to get out. Everyone's vaccinated. Everyone's trying to get back to somewhat normal. So I had planned a week off when I first came back to New York City so that way I can get back into the swing of things. I'm still trying to get back into the swing of things because 7 months was a long time. And I didn't realize just how significantly the transition would be back into the city from being back home. And then I had some friends that invited me out to kind of one of their beach houses for a long weekend. And so we went to a musical sing-along. So that is why my voice is gone. I didn't realize I sang along as much as I did, but then that compounded on my allergies because I didn't have allergies back in Washington State. It wasn't until I moved to New York where my allergies got really bad. I don't know if it's because of the city. I don't know if it's because of the older buildings. I don't know. It's because dust accumulates on all my stuff. But yeah, so that is why I sound like this Barry Manilow kind of, not Barry Manilow, Barry White sort of thing. Not Barry. I'm getting my berries mixed up. But yeah, so that is why I sound like this. And I'm going to listen back to this and see just how deep it is because I've got my headphones on. So the reason I can feel it coming out, that's how I know that I'm saying something audible. So hopefully it is coherent to everyone out there. But again, my funk has continued to roll over into this week. I I'm trying to pinpoint what it is. Maybe it's a good thing I can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but I think it's because I'm now reaching like 10 years in New York City. I'm about to turn 34, which is almost like another milestone. It's closer to 35, closer to 40, that sort of thing. And I'm just really taking kind of a look at like my life, what I've done so far, what I want to accomplish, and then kind of seeing what my friends around me are doing as well. And I think I've come to a point in my life where my different groups of friends, I have like a vast kind of spectrum of friends being a queer person of faith, where we've got like the queer friends, we've got the straight friends, we've got the spiritual friends, we've got all those. So I have a huge kind of gambit of experiences to kind of look at. I'm noticing that there's two kind of camps that people are now starting to kind of find themselves in, especially when we're reaching this part of our lives. And I don't know if it's New York kind of delays that. I always call New York Neverland because it kind of expands the youth part of people's lives, where they get married later, they get like children later, they're more in established in their jobs and stuff like that. So I'm seeing these two different camps that I'm seeing, and I'm seeing some of my friends are getting in long-term relationships. They're starting to adopt children, like babies. And every time I see them send me a picture of that, my heart just is like melts, and I'm like, oh, that's something that I want. And then I have these other group of people where I think they've established that at this point in their life, they aren't interested in having a family, or they're not interested in having a long-term partnership. Like they're focused on themselves, and they're focused on living life to the fullest and that sort of thing. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, but it's really making me kind of take stock of what I'm doing right now. And I don't know, it's just, I think that funk is, and we'll talk about it in these scriptures as well, is I'm now at this check-in point with God's timing. What exactly is God's timing? What does he have in store for me? Because I have all these righteous desires that I want to have, but it's also kind of complicated because of where we fit into this whole scheme of being a queer person of faith. And another thing too is my brother's getting married in August. He's the last of our siblings to get married other than me. And when I was back home and I was talking with my grandparents, like they were talking about how my youngest brother is the last one to get married. There's another cousin that's, I think she's a little bit younger than him. So she's like the last one. And my grandma was saying, yeah, there's only one grandkid that needs to get married. And she's already decided not to get married. And I kind of had to like sit there, and I didn't want to correct them because I didn't want to have that awkward conversation. But I'm like, I'm not married either, grandma. And so I was talking to my grandparent or my parents after meeting with them, and they're like, well, maybe they just don't think you're going to get married. And it was just weird, and it was kind of hard to kind of listen to, because I'm like, it's one of those unspoken things where Dustin can't get married, so we're not even going to hold out hope that he can't even have that sort of whatever marriage looks like for me. And it just, it's one of those things where, I don't know, it's just hard. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm in this funk as well, is because I'm just seeing everyone else's lives kind of progress in a direction. And I think I've determined what direction I want mine to progress in. So now I just need to kind of rely on God's timing and just be okay with that. And I think just being back in the city and the fast pace and the hustle and bustle, I feel like culture shock. I'm feeling like a mix of West Coast, East Coast, that sort of thing. So that's how I am. It's I'm still getting through this funk. And I think it's just an example of just acknowledging what you're feeling and trying to do your best to get out of it, but don't beat yourself up if you're not able to control it, because sometimes maybe there's a reason why I'm going through this right now, because something's waiting for me on the other side when God's timing is aligned with mine. And so that's how I am.
Wow, yours is a roller coaster / midlife crisis style stuff, man.
Yeah, no, that's what it felt like too. But it's just one of those things where, also going back and reviewing the scriptures, because I read them last week, and then we had a week in between episodes where we were going to record. I went back to review them right before getting on and recording, and I'm just like, these are just so what I needed to read right now to just kind of get me a little bit out of that funk and just not not to be like a Debbie Downer or like a hermit or anything like that, but I'm really excited for our discussions today, because I think it's going to be really relatable, and it's going to be some of the kind of therapy that I'm in need of right now, because I'm the kind of person where I like to kind of talk through my feelings that I'm going through. And this podcast has been a really great outlet for that.
Well, how about we jump straight into it then? Then we can, at least take some of that weight off your shoulders for a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to know what else is an outlet for me to express my feelings?
Haikululuya time, duh.
So now we are 21 episodes. We're 21 episodes into season two. Our second season is now of legal age to live their 21-year-old life. But so this week we're going to be discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 58 through 59 through the queer perspective of diligence, which is, I think, right on point with how I'm feeling, how I think the world is feeling right now. But Renee, since it is an odd episode, I go first, right? At this point?
I think so. I want to say I went last time, but I always get confused because you started saying odd and evens last time, and then now I'm confused. We're in the odd number, right? If it's 21 episodes.
Yeah, I think I'm going first. So here I go. So here's my haikululuya on diligence. Diligence will be the key to enduring trials. God will see us through.
I kind of wanted you to repeat that again, if you don't mind.
Okay. Diligence will be the key to enduring trials. God will see us through.
Okay, yeah. Very fitting for this episode. All right, guessing that's my turn now?
See.
Okay. In all diligence, help the world grow to Zion. Be true to you. Now.
Yay. I like that. Mine was more kind of like individualized, and yours was kind of spreading out to make sure that we build Zion for everyone. And it takes diligence in order to do that, because Zion should be welcome for all. And in order for that to happen, we need to be diligent as queer people of faith in making sure that there's a spot for us in Zion.
Yeah, which is basically like jumping straight into the scriptures, because that's what they were saying. So
let's do it, Renee. When you first hear the word diligence as a queer person of faith, what first comes to mind?
Okay, so I looked this up because I was like, I think I'm getting diligence confused with other things. But on the internet, Google says, careful and persistent work or effort. So whenever I think of us as queer individuals, the work we do as members of the church is always persistent, and it requires a lot of effort on our part sometimes to find our place in it. But I kind of love the scriptures this time around, because they talked about how when the saints went, when they were told that Zion, they were going to Zion, they thought they were going to find it. It was going to be like there and built. And then there's like, oh no, sweetie, you got to put this together yourself. I feel like that's very true for the queer community sometimes too. It's like sometimes we, even when we grow up in the church and we choose to leave it, we feel we're going to find this perfect community that we're just going to click with. But really, it still requires a lot of careful and persistent work on our part to find the place that we fit in the queer community, and how our religious upbringings kind of fit into the overall scheme of things. And so that diligence is kind of what provides us the ability to, and that's why I included that. It's like how to be true to ourselves. And how to do that now, where we are not having to wait who we're going to be in the future. And that's how we kind of build our own Zion, our own home, our own place here on earth. So,
yes, thank you for sharing that. When you were talking, the things that kind of came to mind were diligence helps us overcome the disappointment of not necessarily falling into what we think God wants us to do. Like we've talked about this before, about how culture and doctrine kind of intertwine, and how us as members of the church, we're taught to, it's this checklist, one right after the other. The moment you're born, you get baptized, you receive the priesthood, you go on a mission, you come back, you get married, you have kids, and it's just this sporadic events. But as queer people of faith, or people in general who don't necessarily fit into that timeline, it could feel a little disappointing that we haven't achieved certain things by the time we're told we're supposed to achieve them. And I think by having diligence, we're able to remind ourselves that we have to rely on God's timing, and we have to rely on our testimonies and our faiths to put us through those hard times. And I think the reason why we have to go through those hard times, I think this was a question in Manual 2, is for us to learn certain certain things that will help us later on in life. And now I'm having flashbacks of My Turn on Earth. I know I've talked to Todd about this and he had never seen it, but have you seen My Turn on Earth?
Yes. Was it the best movie in the world I've ever seen? No.
Oh, I loved it. But yeah, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like the corniness, right? Of the whole spirituality of it, of course, but like the movie itself.
But yeah, I remember she was diligent to come to Earth to find this treasure, because to them, they were looking at the plan of salvation as this great treasure hunt. And so she was diligent to find this treasure, and she was gathering all these different colored scarves, which represented different things. And so she wasn't realizing that that was kind of the treasure was, spoiler alert, living life. That was the treasure, was coming to Earth, living life as a human, experiencing trials, tribulations, all these things, and then making your way back to Heavenly Father. But she was gathering all these things while she was doing it, water, warmth, food, all these things. And then as she was being called back home, she was going back through her existence and her life, and she came across all these different characters that were in need of the spiritual gifts that she had, that to her, she was like, what am I going to do with this? I don't want to part with this because I think this is my treasure, but you need it more than me. And so she gave warmth to someone who was cold, water to someone who's thirsty, hunger, or food to someone who's hungry. I think that's kind of what we do as well, is as we get to the point in our lives that God wants for us, we're gathering all these things that we, at that point in time, we're like, I have no use for this, or I don't know what this is. And those trials and tribulations are those experiences that we can then pass on to those that are coming up behind us that need that. So again, I love these scriptures, and I love how queer people of faith are so closely relatable to the early saints, because we're kind of going through our own restoration right now. And one of the first things that I think you brought up that jumped out at me in the manual, it says, when the elders of the church first saw the site of the city of Zion, Independence, Missouri, it was not what they expected. Some thought they would find a thriving, industrious community with a strong group of saints. Instead, they found a sparsely populated outpost lacking the civilization they were used to and inhabited by rough frontier settlers rather than saints. I think that description made me laugh. The rough frontier settlers, it almost seems like the prospector from Woody and Toy Story, like rough frontier settlers. But sorry, I got distracted by that. And then it says, and it turned out that the Lord wasn't asking them to come to Zion. He wanted them to build it. I think we discussed this on last week's episode too, where us as queer people of faith, we are unsure of where we fit into the plan of salvation. And so we're kind of looking for any sort of remnants of where we could fit in. And then we hear of these queer groups or these queer LGBTQ tribes or whatever in these different wards. And so we're expecting to then just jump right in and be like, now I'm going to take off. My life is going to be back aligned. I'm going to now know how I fit into things. But sometimes we're the people that need to bring our experiences to build Zion.
I think that's one of my favorite pieces of this lesson was, it's kind of funny, I never really thought about it. I'll be honest, like maybe because I don't come from pioneer heritage or anything like that, I don't give much thought to the pioneers until we start learning about them in our institute classes or Sunday school, you know? And maybe it was just the teenage me, and maybe it's because I haven't seen Doctrines and Covenants anymore in a while, but all these like scriptures are hitting differently this time around. You know what I mean? Like you just said about, you know, us building Zion ourselves. Like there was a scripture, it was in the Come Follow Me manual, right? And it is one of the verses that quoted, it's Doctrines and Covenants 58:3, where they said, ye cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time, the design of your God and the glory which shall follow after much tribulation, right? And so like when you hear that, Dustin, for you, what does that like bring to mind?
It's funny you say that, because that is the exact verse that I chose. So I'm going to tell you exactly what it does bring to mind. And so I'm just going to repeat it. I'm going to repeat it real fast. So it says, ye cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time, the design of your God concerning those things which shall come hereafter and the glory which shall follow after much tribulation. And I said, sometimes the uncertainty of where I fit into the plan of salvation as a queer person of faith is overwhelming. It is in those hard times that I need to be diligent in quieting the noise of doubt around me so I can remain focused on trusting God and his timing. And so what it means to me is, again, like even up until a few hours before recording this episode, I was just in like a funk. Like I was just like, what am I supposed to go on from here? Like I've been doing a lot of things to lay the foundation for helping queer people of faith. Was I focused too much on the group and not necessarily on myself? Like, should I be putting myself out there more to kind of find this person? Like, am I missing out on having a family of my own? Will they be too old to play with my siblings' kids? Like that sort of thing. Like, is there going to be too much of an age gap? And then after reading the scripture, it was basically God saying, Dustin, you just need to calm down and focus on the here and now. I will help guide you to let you know what you need to be doing. But I think you're too worried about not accomplishing certain things that you're missing the goal in front of you. And you might not know what that goal is at this point in time, but I will make that known to you. You just have to put your trust back in me. And I think that's something that the saints had to do as well, is they were ready and raring to go and ready to build Zion. And some people thought Zion was already built and they just had to pack their bags and walk in and choose their room. When they realized that they're walking to this basically just a foundation that they need to dig, they need to lay the stones, they need to do this. And I think some of them got overwhelmed and they ended up not fulfilling that destiny for them. But then other ones were shocked for a time, but they're like, let's get in because we got to get this going. And some of the saints, like they talk about it, Pauli Knight wasn't even able to experience Zion. She was able to literally be there for a couple days, but then she passed on to the next life. But her faith and her diligence was so impactful that they're including her in this manual for those now coming up behind her, hundreds of years after her. We'll probably never even meet her. We don't know what's going to happen in the next life, but her diligence was enough for us to find faith that God's timing will be perfect for us when it happens, and to not be so hard on us and to put our heads down, do the work, and realize that if God needs us to pivot here or there, he'll tell us, but we need to be focused on the goal at hand and not be distracted by the noise around us.
And I think that's that noise that you mentioned is what can get kind of loud, especially as queer members of the church, right? It's like you have all the people in the church telling you what you should do, and then all the people telling you how being in the church and a faith is so wrong and you should kind of move away from it. And then others that are cheering you on to be successful for you are. And it's like, how do you know? Like, what you have to do? Verse 4 in Doctrine and Covenants 58 kind of highlights that further, says, "For after much tribulation come the blessings. Wherefore the day cometh that you shall be crowned with much glory. The hour is not yet, but is nigh at hand." Kind of gives you hope a little bit, like similar to you. Well, I haven't had my midlife crisis yet of children. I've always wanted to foster. So for me, that's always been a dream, something that I want to foster. And luckily for fostering, you don't need a second person. Maybe you could do it on your own if you wanted to. I actually even have the info for the foster stuff because I wanted to start the training at some point. Not start fostering, but just start the, it's a long process. It'd be nice to get started on it. But for me, with everything that went on with Tommy, one of the biggest silver linings that's come, and there haven't been too many, to be honest, like in the moment, right? Like now, yes, but like not in the moment. When I was reading the verses and they kept talking about tribulation and how we would be crowned with that, with much glory at the end, stuff like that. At first, I visioned like a crown, like glory, right? Like, oh, welcome back. But then I realized that when I thought of the crown of glory, it was more of this idea of all the stuff I've gained that I have made me gain, grow in glory, like grow in understanding, growing in love, growing in self-advocacy for myself. Because for the first time, I took a moment and paused and said, Renee, what are you going to do next? Like, you know, he was a huge part of you. You feel like you have this void. So do you just like let it consume you and become a vacuum or a black hole kind of concept? Or do you do something? You fill it up with something. And that's where I had the chance to really like use my tribulation to help me gain glory here on earth, to better understand my own journey and kind of what I wanted to do with it. And part of me was just I could share all that with Tommy, right? And then the other part of me knows that whatever comes next with my partner, that's going to be it. And that was cool because it helped me almost realize that I am, it's kind of like you said, I was given a foundation, like a basic knowledge of how relationships work, how I work, how my family works, my community. And slowly I've been able to add more pieces through the tribulations, through the good moments, the hard moments. And there's certain individuals who won't get to see the Zion that I get to build because they leave my life, right? But there'll be others that'll be part of it throughout the whole time. And I don't know. As a queer person, that kind of was really nice in a way, because sometimes it's hard to relate the scriptures back to myself. It's like, I feel like I force them sometimes, you know, but these scriptures really felt like they were nice. They were validating in some ways.
Thank you for sharing that, because another image that came to mind as you were discussing that, like the first thing that came to mind earlier was the my turn on earth. But then the other thing too, and this is very relevant for a queer discussion, is the whole Wizard of Oz premise too, is she was looking for this thing that she thought she was missing. And it turned out, spoiler alert, she had it within her the whole time. But in the process of finding what she thought she was looking for, she met all these different characters and touched all these different characters' lives and ended up changing their lives for the better, that in a way that they would have never experienced had they not met her. The Tin Man got a heart, the Lion got courage, the Scarecrow got a brain. And had she not been searching for something that she already had, she would have not been able to give those experiences to those other individuals. And so in the end, she was kind of like, why didn't you just tell me at the beginning? And then Glinda was like, well, you probably wouldn't have believed me. And I think that's how God is treating us as well, is like, why didn't you just tell me what was going to happen after all these tribulations? And God was probably like, you probably wouldn't have believed me because you need to go through and have these trial by fires and like get the scars and get the experience in order to understand what the rewards come at the end. Like, now clicking heels makes more sense to you because you knew what you had to go through in order to appreciate those heels, in order for you to realize what you're going back to, what you're going to be leaving behind, the people you're going to touch. And I think that's something too that the saints were also experiencing, was they were leaving their old lives behind and going into this wilderness where they were basically building civilizations in these areas where there were civilizations there, but there wasn't like the established as we know it today. And I think that's something else that God is really teaching to us as queer people of faith through the Doctrine and Covenants, is we have to make sure that there's enough of us that are diligent to put in and do the work. Otherwise, that Zion will never be built, or it will be built, but we will be excluded from it.
Remind me, what is it that Dorothy says to get home? She clicks and then she says something, doesn't she?
There's no place like home.
So when you were talking, it made me think of that, even though I didn't remember the exact verse, but I'm like, I know it's something cool. There's no place like home. For her to realize that there is no place like home, it's kind of like you said, she had to realize that all these things existed in at home. You know what I mean? She was trying to find a way home. And like you said, she had the power with her the whole time. She just had to realize it for herself, gain that self-agency. When you were talking, I scrolled and Doctrines and Covenants, chapter 58, verses 27 and 28. Which, do you have those as well?
No, my next ones are in 59. So these are all yours.
Perfect. So it says, verily I say, men should be men / women / gender neutral should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. And I love that. It's like, I love that, for the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. Isn't that awesome? Like, he's basically saying that you got the power, do it. Click those red slippers and go where you need to go to find home and find peace and find sanctuary and find a place where the people who will help you grow and you can help them grow will be. And I love that.
And thank you for sharing those verses, because something that came to mind while you were saying that too is to not be confused on what rewards are, because sometimes we aren't seeing the earthly monetary rewards or the fame, fortune, and all that sort of thing. And if we don't receive those awards, we're like, we failed. Where sometimes God's rewards are a peace of mind or a testimony or a family or something like that. But we don't need to be discouraged if we don't receive the awards that we think we're going to be. Because Dorothy didn't know that going home was just going to be clicking her heels. And when that was told to her, she was a little caught off guard, but then it made sense to her once she was able to transport herself back. And that's another thing too, about turning down the noise of distraction around us of what the world is telling us rewards should be, because then we will get distracted on when we actually do encounter the rewards that God has for us. Which leads me into my last scripture, is Doctrine and Covenants 59, verse 23. It says, but learn that he who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. And I said, as a queer person of faith, I must remain diligent in building my place in Zion. The foundation that I lay will not only bring me spiritual peace, but all those who follow behind me. And like I was saying before, if we are so distracted on what we consider to be rewards, we could be denying others coming behind us their rewards as well. They have their agency and God has a plan for them, but we just need to realize that the rewards aren't necessarily just ours to experience, but could be others around us. And we need to realize that our part in other people's lives could be allowing them to experience their rewards as well.
No, I love that, because at least for me as a Latino gay man, it made me think of like law cases where usually you take a case to law and it's usually to fight for one person. Like for the Lovings, right? It was to fight for interracial love and marriage. And later on for queer marriage, you know, there were individuals that were fighting for that right. But it ended up being a blessing to me later on, right? As an individual who now benefits from the opportunity to marry interracially if I wanted to, or to marry another man, obviously. So I definitely agree with that. I think when sometimes when you are healthy and strong and you really do take care of yourself, you can come to impact, your reward can come and impact a whole bunch, especially when you're talking about pioneers, right? Like generations about generations later, you never know the impact you can have.
Yeah. And an image that came to mind too is there's this painting in my grandma's house. It's this picture of these saints pushing their hand carts in the snow. And it's like this horrible snowstorm. And they look like they can't go on, but right behind them are their ancestors and their angels pushing them along as well. And I think that's us as queer people of faith, is the moment we feel down on ourselves or we feel like we can't go on, we need to realize that there's generations and generations, not only of queer individuals, but our pioneer ancestors and our Book of Mormon ancestors and all those things that are there pushing along as well, because they live their lives so that way they could help us. And it's just the paying it forward. So now we need to live our lives to then be those guardian angels of those coming down the road behind us.
Do you ever think about the impact that you're making in the community? Like the one thing that you'll be remembered for today's
No, because I try not to, because I don't want that to distract me from the work that I'm doing, because I'm easily distracted. Like if I'm not getting as much recognition as I feel like I should, that'll impact how I start ministering to other people. Or if I feel like this is insignificant and I stop speaking my mind on certain things, that could be that one moment that someone was waiting for to hear those exact words. And I'm now trying to do better at this, is kind of living in the moment, and maybe they'll make a made for TV movie later on if it's significant enough. But at this point in time, I feel like I've made somewhat of a mark, and anything else other than this will just be icing on the cake. But I feel like a lot of the work that I've done so far has helped, I hope, some people out there.
Well, I've already told you, you've inspired me. So you've definitely made changes in my life. Oh. So whatever accomplishments that come out of me are in big part because of you.
Oh, well, that makes me feel good. So thank you.
And it's all the academics ones, because you haven't really helped me in any of that. But
no, no, nor do I think I will, because like I said, those days are behind me. I'm 11 years out from, not 11, I'm 10 years out from graduating college. And I thought about going back to school, but no, it's not.
I am 3 years from being done with college, and then it's a career. So I'll be in it forever.
I also forget how much younger you are than me. So I think everyone's the same age. And so I think that's a great place to kind of wrap up our discussion on diligence and how we as queer people of faith can relate to the early saints. And I think right now is a good place to take a short break. And welcome back from the break. You're listening to Love is Spoken Queer. And Renee and I have just finished discussing Doctrine and Covenants verses 58 through 59 through the queer perspective of diligence. And Renee, based on our discussion today, what do you feel called to do?
To continue working on myself, to continue to help my own light grow brighter so that I can share it more brightly with others, which I actually have been able to do lately. And that makes me super, super happy. I set a goal for myself to be more uplifting towards others and more validating towards others, because I think they deserve it. All the people around me are incredible. And it's been great. I've loved it. And I want to continue doing that for myself and for others, and to show them how important they are in my life and just in the world in general. So it's been pretty nice.
I feel called to more closely acknowledge the rewards that I've already been given and not be so distracted by what I have accomplished right now, because I think that's also a reason why I've had a hard time transitioning back to New York. Is now it's back in the city that never sleeps, and your success is measured based on where you live or what you do and that sort of thing. And I just need to go back to the mindset that I was in back when I was with my parents, and just realize that just spending time with them was a reward, and just having a close relationship with my siblings is a reward, and just realizing that I have this amazing opportunity to work in this amazing city and do something that I love and doesn't feel like work is a reward. And just because I haven't been able to accomplish certain things up to this point, yes, I'm the last grandchild that's going to be married, and not to get so bent out of shape of being overlooked in that, because I don't know the intentions behind those comments, but to just realize that, again, have faith in God's timing and to really appreciate and acknowledge the rewards that I've already been given up to this point.
Yay.
And listeners out there, if you'd like to share some of your personal experiences or some of the rewards that you've seen or some of your stories of diligence, please send them in to us at loveisspokenqueer@gmail.com. It really helps us realize that there are a lot of people going through exactly what we're going through as well. And that helps us build our Zion and build a place for queer people faith in Zion. And you can also send those in to our social accounts, which is Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And Renee, do you have any words that you'd like to leave with the listeners to take with them throughout the rest of the week?
Just, I feel like I've said it before, but we love you. We care for you. We're here for you. If you ever need a friend, let me know. I have Miles. I can come visit if it's one of those that you need to see me in person, even if I don't know you. I'm just happy to be part of this podcast and happy that you listen, and we love you and we care for you very, very much.
And hopefully I will still have a voice by next time. And I hope that it's the gravelly wasn't gravel in your ear, but yeah, so take care of your bodies out there too. Drink water. That's one thing that I forgot to add to my weekly calling is make sure you drink water, because that works wonders. But anyways, so I guess the last thing we have to do is, listeners, thank you for listening, and remember to always be true to you
and love one another.
Until next time.
Ciao.
Bye. You've just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.